Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody, this is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Booker County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And our guest, this is the show for Saturday, December 12, 2004, and our guest is Wynn Free. This is going to be a fascinating interview, folks. Now, there's two names. Well, there's basically two people that everybody's heard of in the metaphysical world. First, of course, is Edgar Cayce, and the second is Uri Geller. Now we have Uri Geller making the statement that David Wilcock is Edgar Cayce. So, I don't think you need any more introduction than that. We're going to be talking about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, folks. Our guest is the author, Wynn Free. And Wynn, go ahead and say hello to the folks. Tell us all about it.
Hi, Blue Otter, and hello to everybody that's listening. Well, I think this is going to be a rather fascinating story, and probably it's far more important than just the fact of the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. We live in a strange world, and we live in strange times right now, and I believe my book, I say my book, it's actually our book, because David is my co-writer, David Wilcock is the person who's the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, is explaining what's happening on the planet and on the solar system from the perspective of a group soul. And we'll explain what a group soul is later. On the other side, who is trying to give us the keys in order to navigate the next few years in the highest consciousness with the highest understanding. And basically, the fact that Edgar Cayce has reincarnated is kind of like the billboard to get your attention, and also to bring credibility to a story that would otherwise sound like science fiction.
And amen.
Be very hard to believe. So in the course of the next while, I'm going to explain why David Wilcock makes the case for being the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and what is happening from the other side's point of view to our planet right now, which is going to impact every single person in the most profound ways possible. And I'm also going to share what someone can do to make a difference and to participate in the higher aspect of what's called a dimensional shift. Okay? So that's a lot to bite off, and I think you're going to see that we're going to cover that. And those that are listening right now, I hope they stay tuned to the very end, because we're going to go through a lot of material.
Our folks love long interviews, Wynn. Go for it.
Oh, good. Well, the first thing here is I better tell people who Edgar Cayce is, because there's going to be people listening that don't know. And Edgar Cayce died in 1945. For 40 years of his life, he would go into a sleep trance state, and people would ask him questions. And he demonstrated omniscience. He could answer questions with complete knowledge of everything on this planet, with no way of knowing that knowledge. Now, when he first started doing this, he was giving people medical analysis and diagnosis. He was able to diagnose people's bodies, knowing their name and the city they were in, using medical terms that he didn't know otherwise. And he would also be able to recommend alternative remedies that, when people would take them, they very often heal their problem. And when they would go to the doctor to confirm his diagnosis, he was always right. He was, in fact, oftentimes he would recommend to somebody a doctor by name who was a specialist that they should see. One time somebody was looking for some obscure remedy that he prescribed to them, and they couldn't find it. And so he actually told them, go to the drugstore, tell the guys on the second shelf, and look behind this bottle, and there was that remedy.
Oil of smoke.
Yeah, you read that, huh?
I saw that. It was on the TV show.
Yeah.
Paige Krause.
So the thing about Edgar Cayce is that he was credible. And for the first 20 years of his life, he just did medical readings. And then, for the second 20 years, he started telling people what they were in their other lifetimes and how that stepped down into this lifetime to create their challenges. The idea being that we've done things, the idea of karma, that we've done things in other lives, and that we have to balance those things we've done in this life to get it clear. And so he didn't do that for the first 20 years, because when he first started doing this, he was a fundamentalist Christian, and he wasn't sure if what he was doing was positive.
In the 20s, no less. And he's
right.
A country boy from Kentucky, which makes it even more incredible.
Right. And so his source, and that's what he called it, his source. And he actually believed that it was the Christ communicating through him. It's one of the ways that he justified the positive aspect of what he was doing. Also, he said, if he ever does anything negative to anybody, he's going to stop doing these readings. So for the second 20 years, he did reincarnation. He told people their past lives. And he also did a lot of future prophecy. And when he died, his children, this was in 1945, who watched this miracle of their father through their entire life, opened up a library in Virginia Beach. And he had 15,000 documented readings at this point. And they opened the library up to anyone that wanted to come to peruse these readings, either to heal themselves, or many journalists came to try to prove that Edgar Cayce was a fraud. And almost in every case, these journalists would write biographies, and in some cases became bestsellers, like The Sleeping Prophet, you know, telling the story of Edgar Cayce. So, Edgar Cayce was real. The story is bulletproof, and, you know, 60 years later, 65 years later, there's probably 500 books written about Edgar Cayce. You can go into any big health food store, and they have a section of Edgar Cayce remedies. There's people still wondering about the California earthquake, which we're going to get into later, and some of the inundations that Edgar Cayce predicted for the period of time right now. Now, if Edgar Cayce has in fact reincarnated, and we can make a case for that, it's going to give a tremendous amount of credibility for the information that's coming through him about what's happening on our planet. And so that is going to be the next thing in this conversation. I'll tell you a little bit about David Wilcock. David Wilcock had just graduated from the University of New York in New Paltz, and he was a psychology major, and he'd been interested in metaphysics and UFOs and spiritual things all his life. It was 1996, and he was 26 years old. And David had read a book on dreams, lucid dreaming, and he decided he was going to start recording his dreams. He put a pad by his bed, and he would wake up in the middle of the night and write down whatever was in his mind and go back to sleep. And in the morning, when he looked at this pad to see what he had written down, instead of finding dreams, he found sentences. And the sentences seemed to be communicating to him. They seemed to be counseling him. Now, his first thought was he was making it up. Some part of his mind was making this up, but he continued to do it the next night and the next night, and every night he'd get more sentences of counsel. After about a week, a sentence would come through that predicted something in David's future. And 2 days later, the precise thing that was predicted happened. Well, this shocked David, because now he knew it wasn't his mind making these things up. It was something more far out than his own, you know, creative powers within his own consciousness. Shortly thereafter, his dream voice, as he called it, started to make predictions of things that would happen in the world. And they would happen. So he became very fascinated with this whole process. He didn't talk about it to anyone. He was a little bit embarrassed because he saw himself as an intellectual. And this was a little bit too wacko. But he knew it was real. So he put a tape recorder by his bed. Now he woke up and started dictating into a tape recorder. Now, I should say he was aware of the idea of channeling. And he knew who Jane Roberts and Seth material, and he had gone and read the Seth material, and he started to apply some of Jane Roberts' techniques of channeling. And so he would use a tape recorder, and he would go into a deep trance state and start dictating into the tape recorder, and what was coming out was like page after page of the most incredibly wise information. And, of course, more counseling to him. Basically, he was not very stable. And they wanted him to be able to get himself together, to be able to fulfill this higher purpose that was going to be asked of him very shortly. Well, he did all this for a year. And he himself never thought it was anything special that he was going to become famous about. He was just embarrassed by it. It was his own private little relationship between him and his dream voice. And after a year, his dream voice requested that he move to Virginia Beach. Now, Virginia Beach was where the Edgar Cayce Library is, where all those... Now there's a big foundation there that stocks Edgar Cayce's books, Edgar Cayce Remedies, called the ARE. He moved to Virginia Beach, and he visited the ARE, and people started staring at him. And he said, "Why are you staring?" And they said, "You look exactly like a young Edgar Cayce." Now, those that are listening, if you want to check my website, I have that picture of David and Cayce. The website is www.cayceysback.com, C-A-Y-C-E-S-B-A-C-K. And David was a little bit shocked, and he was almost scared to address it. But he went home, and by this time, he had come to the place where he could formulate a question in his mind, and his dream voice would answer the question. And so he did. He said, "Why is it that I look like Edgar Cayce?" And the answer was, "Because you are. And this is a lot of responsibility to accept this. And if you study Edgar Cayce, you will see all the parallels. Except this lifetime, you're not supposed to be doing past life readings and health readings. You're supposed to explain to your planet this dimensional shift that's happening and how we're on the verge of Jesus' prophecies of ascension coming about." Well, this really freaked David out. This was a lot to ask of, now he's 28 years old, and he didn't know if this was positive. He wasn't, you know, sure. It was just, he was integrating it all. Well, the first thing he did was start studying Edgar Cayce. And he found out that Edgar Cayce had made a prediction that he was going to return in 1998 and live in Virginia Beach. And this is November of 1997 that David had discovered, you know, his own revelation that he was Edgar Cayce. Actually, this prediction of Cayce, just to be completely accurate, it refers to an early life of Edgar Cayce in Egypt as a high priest by the name of Ra-Ta. And in the Edgar Cayce readings, Ra-Ta was described to have built the pyramids by levitation. And the reading said, "The priest shall return in 1998 and may be a liberator of the world." And up till the point of David, most people have interpreted that to say that he might reincarnate in 1998. And my interpretation of it, and it makes sense, when they said return, either they meant return to Virginia Beach or return to the awareness of his own realization of who he was in that period of time. And then Edgar Cayce had a dream that said he would be back in Virginia Beach and he would be surrounded by his old acquaintances. Well, David started to identify all the people in his life that looked like people that were in Cayce's life. And I should mention, in terms of reincarnation, there's a couple of people that have done studies that indicate that people tend to look like their past life. So there's a guy named Joe Myers. I think his website is reincarnation2002.com. He has done all this study of comparing different people and who they were in a past life and the similar appearance, the similarity in personalities. Well, up to now, there's a pretty good case building but it is still somewhat fairly subjective. And then, probably, we hit the most objective, amazing thing that tied David to Casey. And that was, he compared his astrology chart with the astrology chart of Edgar Casey.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason, but I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them, and that to me is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, and I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. keep making laws to try and change human behavior, you can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and you're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities, and there's so much professionalism. You know, there's if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity. By the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch, and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
And in doing so, he found out that all his personal planets were in exactly the same signs as Edgar Cayce's. Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars. They were both born in the year of the ox. Now, David was born on the one day of 127 years that all those planets were the same. And statistically, one chance in 300,000. So now, if you take all these things together, one chance in 300,000 on the astrology, David does deep trance channeling. He looks like Cayce. He was instructed by his dream voice to go to Virginia Beach to fulfill the prophecy. And then he started looking at Cayce's personality and found out that he had exactly the same characteristics as Cayce. And when I started writing the book, this is one of the things that came to me. Most people who think of Edgar Cayce, you know, see that, you know, there's a classic picture of him. He looks very peaceful. And, of course, there's just oodles and oodles of books of his readings. But very few books talk about Cayce's personality.
He was really kind of foreign, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a very eccentric, difficult guy. He actually, when I was doing the research on my book, I found a book by a guy named Harmon Brough called Fear Out of Season, who lived in the Cayce household. And Harmon Brough wrote a book that really described Cayce's personality and his anguish. Like, for example, Cayce kind of resented being a sleeping prophet, even though he knew it was a high service. People, you know, we all want to be acknowledged for things we create. And Cayce got acknowledged for going to sleep. And he didn't have a sense that he created anything.
Mm-hmm.
And his ego kind of needed recognition. And, you know, as David started to unfold this, and I'll tell how that happened, David kind of resented in his own way, being a channel. What happened as David, during this year and a half after he was told he was Casey, and that he was supposed to explain to the planet that there's a dimensional shift happening, David started studying the solar system, because he said to himself, if there's a dimensional shift, then there's, and I'm going to explain what that is, there's got to be some indication of that in the solar system. Now, some of us are seeing those indications in terms of weather changes, in terms of solar flares that are being so huge. And David was finding out that there were all kinds of things, not just happening on our planet, but in the entire solar system, that had never happened in the recorded history of mankind. And so he decided that he was going to compile all these things and put them up on a website so that to rattle people's cages so that they would say, that notice that there's something happening. And on his website, he had a small section on the left that said, the Edgar Casey Connection. Now, he never said he was the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. It was a little too controversial. Every time he tried to say that to somebody, he would get in trouble. They'd think he was self-serving or wanted attention. So he put it off to the side. He put his readings up, kind of very badly formatted, and in the center of his website, he had all this scientific research. And just to share with you some of the... I have a whole chapter in the book on some of the scientific stuff that David was noticing. And as I said... I'll just read a couple of these things. Unprecedented solar activity. As written on a European Space Agency website, a team led by Dr. Mike Lockwood, proved in 1999 there has been an overall increase in the sun's magnetic field by a factor of 2.3 since 1901. This means the sun's magnetic field has become 230% stronger between 1901 and 1999, and Lockwood studies also show the speed of this change is continually accelerating. The atmospheres of the planets are changing. Dr. Alexko Dmitriev's work entitled Planet Physical State of Earth and Life shows the planets themselves are changing, becoming brighter, hotter, more magnetic, more geologically active, and more atmospherically dense. For example, the Mars Observer probe in 1997 lost one of its mirrors, which caused it to crash. NASA scientists calculated that the Martian atmosphere had become 200% thicker than they had expected it to be, and it blew that mirror right off the device. The Earth and the Moon are having atmospheric changes. The magnetic fields and brightnesses of the planets are changing. Jupiter's magnetic field grew 200% in size in 6 years between 1992 and 1998. And Uranus's magnetic field has experienced an abrupt, large-scale growth in its intensity. These planets are becoming brighter. Uranus and Neptune appear to have recent pole shifts. And Neptune is 40% brighter between 1996 and 2002. Pluto's atmosphere, 300% more dense, increased 300% from 1988 to 2002. Volcanic activity on Earth increased 500% since 1975. Natural disasters on Earth increased 410%. And the sun's magnetic field is 1,000% brighter at its leading edge. Well, there's more than that, but David said, these things are happening and no one's compiling them and bringing them before the public. These are the things that have been called the quickening. And David made the case of tying these things to this dimensional shift and explaining how, what's provoking this to occur. Now, David, after about a year and a half, of studying the solar system, studying Edgar Cayce, he came to the conclusion that that it just might be true, everything is, his voice had told him to do. And so he put up a website called Ascension 2000, put up some of these, he had actually written volumes of books explaining all these changes, and he put up his little section of the Edgar Cayce overview. Well, I discovered his website, and I started reading the Edgar Cayce part of it, and I had been very, very influenced by Edgar Cayce when I was in college. I was a physics major at Berkeley some years ago, and at that time, I really didn't have a very good foundation for spirituality or an understanding of how the big picture of life worked. In fact, I had kind of an attitude that was, if something's true, I should be able to prove it to myself, or that I shouldn't have to believe things on faith. And so I read Edgar Cayce books at that time, and I made the conclusion that Edgar Cayce did exist and he was real, and that if he existed and was real, there is something much more significant to what's going on than science and college training. And I kind of dedicated my life after that to trying to understand how things worked. So, finding David's site where he's making this indication that he has a connection with Edgar Cayce, I started reading all the story, and I remembered the reading of Cayce where he said he was going to return in 1998, and I said to myself, this guy has got to be Edgar Cayce. He's got to be fulfilling the prophecy. And at the time, I was writing and interviewing people for a metaphysical magazine. And so I solicited my editor, and I said, I want to interview David Wilcock. And she looked at his website, and she looked at it quickly, and she didn't buy it. She said he was some kind of wacko. And I said, no, I think he's really Edgar Cayce. So she gave me permission to interview David, and she wouldn't promise she would run the article, though. But after she read the interview, she said I was right, that he was Cayce. And then she said, I think you're the guy that's supposed to write the book about it. And this was really, I never thought of writing a book, never thought I could write a book, but as I read David's channelings and the information that was coming through him, I said to myself, this is going to be the most important thing I've ever done in my life and maybe many lifetimes. Because I started to get the idea that I wasn't sure that this was true, but it just might be true what David was saying was going to happen. And if it was true, this was going to be something really important for people to know and understand, because he was explaining how our planet was switching from third dimension to fourth dimension and what caused this to happen and the end of a 75,000 year cycle and how this corresponded to the Mayan calendar of 2012. So I'm going to say a little bit more about that in just a moment, but before I do, I want to explain who was talking through David and who was talking through Cayce, because there's a dynamic of evolution that I don't believe I've ever read as clearly expressed as in terms of how the other side actually operates and works. So, to explain this, let me talk about what David Source calls the Law of One. The Law of One is the idea that energetically, we are all part of the same energy. Now, a human has an energy connected to a body. That energy is what has been historically called a soul, or religions call it an aura. And that energy is in a state of flux. It's not finite. In other words, when you get near another person and start communicating with another person, aside from the communication that's happening in your mind, there's always a communication that's happening through your vibratory field. And to some degree or another, your vibratory field is connecting with that other person's vibratory field. If there's really a deep connection, we have a process taking place that Jesus called communion. And oftentimes, people will, that will cause a change of energy in the space you're in. And people feel that, and they call that spirit. The Christianity called it Holy Spirit. Hindu religions called it Shakti or Prana. There's all these kinds of names of what happens when our energy fields combine, and it creates kind of a magic in the environment. When people have great intimacy in making love, they have this deep combining of energy, and there is a quality of communion. If you sit in a room and there's a spiritual teacher or somebody that's holding a very high energy, if they're doing it right, oftentimes they will catalyze. They don't do it. We all do it. It's a voluntary free will action that you can't choose to do, and you can't choose it not to do. But if you're in an environment, you can recognize it happening. It can happen in a musical event where there's great, spontaneous, inspiring music, and people's energies start joining. And for a moment, everybody's spirit has become one. And then we separate and go back into our lives again. Well, in terms of evolution, the more evolved a person, a human is, the more they can participate in this oneness, the more that they get up every day and oneness is part of their life. They see everything as part of themselves. They walk around and it's the quality of compassion and love. And we go through many, many lifetimes, and each lifetime we kind of advance. If we make good choices, we advance in this ability to create and experience oneness around us. Now, over millions of years of lifetimes in this level and other levels, there's an ultimate high place which is called a group soul. This is a group of beings that at one time had bodies like ours on this planet or another planet, and has evolved into a state of pure energy. And they exist to help other planets going through lower level states of evolution. Now, who is speaking through Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock is a group soul. They've identified themselves by the name of Ra, and they've explained how they've participated in the history of humankind for hundreds of thousands of years. For example, in our solar system, there were two planets that destroyed themselves. One of them was Mars, and the other was called Maldek, which exploded and became what we know now as the asteroids. Well, when these planets destroyed themselves, this group soul had the authority and the ability to move the souls on those planets into the reincarnational field of planet Earth so that they could continue their evolution on this planet. And there's this whole administration taking place on the other side of group souls who are operating to execute what we call God's will, but it's really a voluntary effort. It's not like there's some directive by But because God is, in fact, the whole everything. And if God becomes something, God operates through part of creation. In other words, I give the example oftentimes that if somebody is praying that somebody would give them a dollar, if they're on the street saying, God, I need a dollar, God never gives the person a dollar, but somebody's going to walk by and feel compassion, and they're going to act on behalf of that, of God, and give the person a dollar. So in a sense, this group's soul is acting on behalf and helping our planet. And,
be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm dying it right now, Marie
Osmond.
Put it
under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
One interesting thing that happened as I was doing my research on all of this is I found out that there was another woman who had channeled Ra in 1981 to 1985. Her name was Carla Rucker. If anyone wants to look at her website, it's llresearch.org. And she has 5 books out on the market, which I studied. And in reading her books, I found out in some of the questions and answers to Ra that Ra had said that they had found an Egyptian high priest, 10,500 B.C., and they worked very closely with that high priest, and they built the pyramids out of levitation. And that just blew me away, because I remembered directly the Edgar Cayce reading of him being Ra-Ptah, which I mentioned earlier, a high priest in Egypt, and it was indicated 10,500 B.C., and building the pyramids by levitation. I actually, a few years ago, while I was in the process of formulating the idea of the book, I had the opportunity to meet Carla Rucker when she was giving a lecture, because to me, this was a mind-blowing clue as to the accuracy of everything, because I had to confirm that Carla Rucker didn't know that that lifetime of Edgar Cayce. And I just asked her spontaneously if she had read Edgar Cayce, and she said she had, and she read his health readings. And I said, asked her if she knew about Edgar Cayce's, the books where they described Edgar Cayce's past lives, and she said she knew nothing about his past lives. And so I presented her with the idea. I said, I think in your reading, Ra was talking about Edgar Cayce's past life as Ra-Ptah. And in 20 years of her channeled books being out, no one had made this connection before. And this is kind of an extraordinary connection because now it ties this group soul Ra to Edgar Cayce, as well as David Wilcock. They've identified themselves as David Wilcock. But, you know, with Edgar Cayce never had an identification of who was speaking through him, and I would guess that they couldn't really explain what I just explained about group souls, because Edgar Cayce might have found conflict with this based on his religious fundamentalism. So it was just identified as the source. But they say they have millions of individual souls, and they had lifetimes on Venus millions of years ago, and they've gone through this evolution through densities. And they describe these eight densities that all life goes through as it reaches higher and higher levels till it becomes one with all that is.
That's really interesting because, well, we had Will Hart, Thomas Mills on the show. He was explaining the pyramids on the Giza Plateau, and he was talking about the only animal symbols that are on them are symbols that are significant to the Hopi religion.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there are eight, you know, besides the three larger pyramids, there are five other small ones.
Mm-hmm.
He says they represent eight times that Creator was going to be working with us, and we're going now from the, I guess, the fourth world. It's late, folks. It's almost 2 a.m. here. Fourth world into the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So there's a parallel.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as I was writing the book, I started studying the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, because I said to myself, Jesus, they built this by levitation. There should be quite a few strange things about the pyramid. And of course, there are. And I have a whole chapter on the book dedicated to the things that even now indicate that the pyramids could not have been built by the Egyptians in a normal manner of building them. There's all kinds of embedded information in the ratios of the heights to the widths, even prophetic information in the pyramids that indicated whoever created them was far, far more advanced than could have happened by Egyptians at the time. And, you know, there's a congruency to my story in the book that ties so many things together. It kind of is giving a picture of our evolution from a celestial perspective. And as hard as it is to believe it all in the conscious mind, it's really hard to disbelieve it because there's too much evidence. It's grounded not in just here's a prophecy or here's some words through David Wilcock. It's grounded in the evidence tying, say, the Carla Ruckert connection with Ra and the pyramids to the Edgar Cayce, to all the things tying David Wilcock to Edgar Cayce. And
that's why Mad Bear Anderson wanted a place for all the prophecies to be compared, and that's what we do.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know he wanted that done until 2 years after I started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he was Rolling Thunder's friend. Rolling Thunder was at Edgar Cayce's bedside when he passed.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling Thunder became probably the most famous medicine man of the 20th century. And I never met Mad Bear because he died in 85. But in 85, and I didn't put this together until this last year, an old full-blood Indian man appeared to me in a dream and asked me, you know, well, when are you going to do something about your own native genealogy? You know, he mentioned my ancestor's name. So I believe that could have been Mad Bear. But Mad Bear, he said, if we can get a place for, he talked about the Edgar and others especially, he says, if we can get a place where all the prophecies can be compared from all the different religions, he says, then we will really have something.
Mm-hmm. Actually, as part of my process in writing the book, I went back and then started comparing what was being said in the book to all these other prophecies, and seeing how correlated they were, how correlated, you know, it was with the Hopis and the Mayan in 2012. And let me give the listeners a little idea, try to convey now what this dimensional shift actually is and how it's going to affect people, as I've learned to understand it. Scientists, of course, talk about what's called the unified field, this energy that pervades all space, that radiates from the galactic center. And metaphysical people have called this etheric energy. There's an energy that is the basic primordial force, precursor to everything else. And the Russians are actually learning to measure this energy scientifically, and they're calling it torsion wave radiation. And there's some very interesting experiments that are documented in my book that tie, for the conscious mind, for the first time, I think, people reading my book are getting the conscious mind to understand, because there's a link between science and spirit now that has not been presented so clearly before. And David felt it was very, very important to make this link so that all of this stuff could make sense without being a blind believer. In other words, without just coming to a conclusion and saying, here's what's happening and I hope you believe it. He's done an extraordinary job in bringing all kinds of information, all kinds of processes, all kinds of scientific stuff to make one heck of a solid case. What's happening is this energy which pervades all of space is not equally dense. It goes through very dense and then more thin periods. The peaks of density of this energy are approximately 75,000 years. Our solar system is moving through this energy, and we are now in the end of the 75,000 year cycle. And so this period of time is very well known to the other side. Even though we're not aware of this cycle, and it's something that is far too long to measure or pay attention to or notice, those group souls and forces on the other side are very aware.
Well, there's a 12,006-year cycle, too, right?
Right. Well, there's subtitles.
When you put 10,500 B.C. together with 2,000, guess what? We're in that last 100 years.
Right. Well, there's the going through all the astrological cycles. There's a 24,000-year cycle. But those are sub-cycles. The 75,000, I was simplifying it because, just to get the idea, all of this has more detail than I can possibly present in one little show. But the longest cycle is approximately 75,000 years, and we're in that right now.
Which is six 2,500-year cycles.
Right, exactly. And so in moving through this very high, very strong etheric energy, it's causing the etheric envelope of the planet to change. And what is the etheric envelope of the planet? That's something that we all derive from. Our energy fields connect to the etheric envelope of the planet. And then the etheric envelope of the planet connects with the energy fields of all the other planets, and it's all moving through space and hitting this huge punctuated leap, which is causing a shift. This is what's stimulating the shift on the planet, the scientific things I was reading about, this this energy. And in simple, the most simplest of terms, our planet is changing from a third chakra planet to a fourth chakra planet. Using the word chakra, the third chakra relates to the solar plexus, which relates to power and individuality. And the fourth chakra relates to the heart, which is compassion and empathy. These are actual energies. When somebody is in their fourth chakra, they radiate an energy from that space, and it's kind of psychic. When you're around them, especially if you're in your third chakra and you're not resisting them, you'll feel a lifting of your energy. And so, throughout the history of mankind, the teachers here and the inspirers have been people who have worked from fourth chakra or higher and held that energy, trying to elevate people to lift and experience that so that they could incorporate it into their daily life. I'm sure that the people that we call our messiahs and our prophets throughout history were people that had the ability to hold this fourth chakra energy. Well, the planet is becoming a fourth chakra planet. In order to continue on this planet, you need to have your fourth chakra open. And they say at least 51%. It doesn't have to be perfect. And so those people that don't do that, that don't keep their fourth chakra open or have a 51 dedication to service. And by the way, the only way you can keep your heart chakra open is to keep the chakras of those people around you open. You get up in your life, and it's the care that you extend towards others, the genuine care that comes back to you, that allows you to stay in a lifted consciousness.
That's why Jesus wanted people to live all things common, and Edgar said that this would be the way of life in the future. He's called it the kind of communism Jesus taught.
Right, right. But even today, anyone can you know, I've learned so much as a result of writing this book, and I feel like I've gotten so much stronger inside of myself, because at earlier times in my life, I would walk around and saying, this is too negative, I can't be here, this person's too negative. And I'm finding more and more that I can hold my own energy regardless of who I'm with and where I am. And if I'm true to myself, usually the energy of those people around me will shift and change and lift. You can't make it happen. You can't force anybody. But you can hold the energy. And people are psychically sensitive to this energy. And, you know, right now, people are going through all kinds of stuff. And anyone who could hold this energy is blessing everyone around them. So, in this shift from third to fourth chakra, there's going to be a transition through dimensions for people, which Jesus called ascension. And
also kind of explains the parable of wheat and tares, because he said that the wicked would be removed from.
Right. Well, I'm not going to use the word wicked or judge anything.
Oh, we'll just call people that are...
The people...
I mean, wicked's not evil.
Yeah. I would rather say that there are people that still want to experience the lessons of third density. They still want to experience power.
Right.
They want to experience, you know, power over other people. And unfortunately, some people are just going to get stuck because of fear. Because there's a lot of things in the world that are being engineered to create fear to hold people back. And that's one of the reasons the book is so important. My book is because I wrote it and I took the channelings of David that can give you the guidance on how to get through this period of time and overcome the fear and stay in the compassion. Because what they're saying, this is, of course, now this is where I can't validate this, but I'll just pass it on. You know, as I said, this group Sol Ra has the ability to move souls from one planet to another and to continue their evolution when those two planets blew themselves up. And what they're saying is those people that still need to continue lessons in the third density, in this kind of environment, those people that need to have lessons of power and individuality are going to be moved to another planet in another star system to start their evolution over and to continue these lessons, because they can't do it in the future on this planet, because the planet's being cleansed, and this is part of the cleansing process. And this next period of a few years is the most important period in the history of mankind.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow. But tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quiñones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quiñones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Because this is the chance and the opportunity to make sure, if you want to qualify for this dimensional shift event, and then back up on Earth when it's kind of a heaven-type world, where it's the world we've dreamed of, because you have to qualify and be vibrationally open to be here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I formatted the book where the first part of the book describes all the connections between David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce. And the second part starts talking about his messages. And it's actually the words of Ra speaking through David through a good part of the second part. And there's a lot of counseling in there explaining to people how to get through this period, how to keep their vibrations up, how to overcome what they call your distortions. Your distortions are that which keeps you grounded in the negative worlds here. How to make this other reality real, how to live in the fourth dimension now, right now, not in the future, but right now, to create the vibratory space to share that with those around you. And
I ask you something before you go on. I haven't read your book.
Yeah.
But let me run some things by you. The Hopi elders have said.
Mm-hmm.
They have said, in order to get through this, they said, what's coming is kind of like, well, Uncle John up at Iroquois said there's kind of like a river that's coming,
mm-hmm.
and he says we just need to not hang on to the bank, but we need to just jump in and get in the middle of it and keep our head above water and go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Hopi elders have said, basically, they've given you 10 and I won't go through all of them, but I just kind of hit highlights, is that you need to know your garden. You need to know where your water is. You need to be living in right relationship with each other. You need to lose the word struggle from your vocabulary. And I'll bet these are some of the same things that
Ron is communicating.
Yeah.
Well, they are very, very much the things that Ra is communicating. And probably, I have a very strong feeling that it's this very same Ra that's been communicating to the Hopis. In other words, this Ra is a major oversoul for our planet. And so they don't care if you call them Ra or not. Some people call them the star people, whatever. But
he was the one they called Masau.
Masau. I can't say who's who.
Yeah.
But I know that it's kind of like they're huge and they could have identified themselves many, many times, in different ways. They've identified them as Ra with David because there's this historical thing. There's the Carla Rucker, and, you know, it's kind of like when the other side gets a chance, they use prophecy to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had this wonderful opportunity to use the connection between David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce to get attention for this event. And I should add that when I say something that's very specific, let me say that I can't say this is true. I share this with you, and we watch it unfold together. But I'm certainly not going to say I am sure that this is the way it's going to happen. But I'll share it because if it does, it might be helpful to have this as a parameter as the future unfolds. This shifting of dimensions and moving people through dimensions is supposed to happen in a period between 2009 and 2017. Basically, this first movement through dimensions, they have said, is going to occur for those people that A, have their chakra open, B, are prepared to leave at a moment's notice. In other words, if you're attached to something down here, if you're attached to your job, your kids, you know, you're not going to leave. You're going to want to stay. And this is the choice everyone has to make of how to work this. And the third thing is, there's going to be some kind of calling, some kind of pulling, greeting, where you're going to feel an upliftment of your energy. And if that scares you, you'll shut the process down.
So you're talking about the ghost dance, you know, with deceased relatives coming back. And personally, I don't stay around anybody that wants to stay on this planet.
Okay.
You know, so I think we get the picture.
Right. And so these are the three things. And the people that are, for people who are traditional Christians, who have opened their hearts up, and they don't have to know all this esoteric stuff, they're going to recognize this and say,
sure,
this is what we heard about, we're ready, you know. They qualify just as well as anyone else.
Sure.
You don't need to know all this esoteric stuff to have this movement. But if you need some kind of cosmology to understand this experience, this is probably the cosmology that's going to fit. And then after 2009, there's going to be a lot of Earth changes. This is some of the stuff. There's potentially a pole shift, a lot of earthquakes, and mankind during this period is going to resort somewhat to some kind of almost tribal existence of trading. You know, all the big systems will have broken down. And then after 2017, it's finished. The portal closes. Now, supposedly, those people that left in this first wave, according to David's readings, are going to be able to come back in light bodies, communicate with those they care about, and tell them not to be afraid, and guide them into the next wave. And this is equivalent, I guess, to what Jesus did when he resurrected. Jesus was an example of someone going through dimensions.
These things you see me doing here are greater things.
Exactly. And he was the example for us so that it could be real. He tried to set people up, and I believe that he was working with these same group souls very closely. And
some religions call it the first resurrection.
Pardon me?
Some religions would call this like the first resurrection.
Right, right. And so that is the essence of it. Now, an interesting thing is one of David's readings, they actually corrected the California earthquake prophecy. And I know there's a lot of people, including myself, was saying, geez, if Vicar Casey's back, I want to know when this earthquake is going to happen so I can get out of California. Well, if all the information is correct, the really, 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 there may be other earthquakes that are lesser extent, but the real devastation won't happen until after 2009. And in Casey's readings, Casey had predicted, actually, that this devastation was going to happen earlier than that. A lot of people have expected it and have discredited Casey because it hasn't happened. Well, something that's interesting that came through David is that Ra corrected that reading through David. They said that was not them that did that devastation reading. That was a negative entity that was coming through Casey that was trying to create fear. And I had the Casey CD-ROM, and I went back and looked up that inundation prophecy. And sure enough, it was indicated that it was not the normal source. It was, had a name. I think it was called Hilaliel was the entity that was speaking. And I started studying Hilaliel. I looked up, I did a search on the whole 15,000 readings. And I found out that there were Casey study groups that had later on decided to never ever have Hilaliel come through Casey again because they didn't trust his information. And then Ra, through David, corrected all those readings, quoting each reading number very precisely by its Casey file number.
Now, that's really interesting because that sounds awful close to Pele Ale.
Uh-huh.
Which is I don't know if it's part of Masonic tradition, but it's part of the Mormon tradition that came from Joseph Smith's unauthorized incursion into Masonry.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the temple ceremony. And because there was no all these blood oaths and all that stuff that is part of Masonry and all that blood and gore. And,
mm-hmm.
That's interesting because that's at the end of the temple ceremony you say the word Pele Ale, which is off close to what the name of that angel you just spoke about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Hilaliel.
You know, I'll tell you a little interesting thing that ties in with all of this is that if you recall, I talked about Ra being very closely connected with Ra Ta in 10,500 BC, and that Ra Ta was teaching the other priests this high level wisdom and magic with the idea of kind of invoking the law of one, or, you know, sharing the law of one. You can't invoke it. It's something that has to be inspired. Well, the lower level priests started to channel, and instead of tapping into Ra, they tapped into lower level, more demonic negative sources, and they didn't know the difference. And this was the beginning of the secret societies that are trying to control our world today.
Yeah, Cherokees went through that with the Ani Kutani. and they start trying to control us through fear, and so we eventually had to rebel against them and put them all to death. But it does happen.
Yeah. So maybe I'll finish off with a little discussion about something called wanderers. And let me just say right now that my book is called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. It's by Winfrey with David Wilcock. I put the book together and formatted it and told the story, and we included a lot of David's readings and two chapters of his scientific work. It's available in stores, it's available on Amazon, and it's available on my website, which is Cayce's Back, CayceBack.com. And those who get it at my website also get a free cassette tape for included in the cost of the book of a talk I gave at the Bodhi Tree. And that's been very helpful because I found that people read the book and they try to explain this to someone else and it sounds like they just joined a cult because it's so out of our normal reality. And so we also have an 800 number, 800-345-6665, 800-345-6665, where people can order the book on the phone. Now, I want to explain something about wanderers, and then maybe I'll finish, and I'll read a couple excerpts from the group Soul and their communications to us for this period of time. If you recall, I said that during this dimensional shift, there is that event where people continue on this planet in the higher dimensional aspect of it, or they're moved to another planet to start over. Well, our planet, planet Earth, was a place where beings were moved from other planets who did not qualify for their ascension event to continue their evolution. And they did something on the other side that had never been done before, which is they combined people from many, many different planets here. And it was an experiment that didn't work. For example, Japanese people are from a planet, Chinese people are from another planet, black people are from another planet, and I'm not sure about American Indians if they're from another planet. There might have been one group that was indigenous and actually kept evolving from pea soup on this planet. I'm not sure.
Some of our Jackie Holy men say that some of our clans are from different places, and oddly enough, what you're talking about is if you read the Urantia book, some of these ideas are in there also.
Right.
There was all these races, and that the Adam and Eve's purpose was to come and to bring them all into one bloodline, but that was short-circuited by the rebellion here.
So, what happened was, we've had a lot of contention on this planet because of all these people from different planets not getting along very well now here. And on the other side, there's been a lot of collaboration trying to figure out how to help and what to do. And one of the things that was done is a lot of volunteers chose to incarnate down here who had already evolved beyond the need to have a third density life. And those volunteers, a good part of them have lost their way. Supposedly, 90% of them. They're the kids, they're the indigo children, they're the people that can't find a purpose, and it's, you know, for many people, they have this very high intention to want to serve and want to do something, and they have no vehicle to do it. And my book has explained a lot of people that fit this description are finding a lot of deep, deep understanding and meaning in their life because they're wanderers. They are higher dimensional beings in a body.
You're talking to me. I look at these people like they're gluttons for punishment, you know, because they didn't have to come back, but they did.
Right.
And that what you're talking about fits my life perfectly. I mean, my name, Scott, means one.
Right.
You know,
right.
I didn't have a purpose. I just wandered. I mean, my family just did not know what to do with me, and they still don't. And I'm cranky and bitchy, like Edgar Casey. I'm not comparing myself to these people, but you can see the trends in people.
Right.
Don't
right.
do it ourselves.
Well, you know what I have learned for myself is that the more one accepts that one is here to lift the planetary vibration, and the more one gets up in the morning and say, what can I do to make a difference?
A job.
You know, even though, I mean,
well,
even...
David says it's just a job.
Even, yeah, what can I do to make a difference down here?
Yeah,
even if you got a job.
I'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like
dehydrated.
And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm dying it right now, Marie
Osmond. Put it under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
The little kindnesses you express at your job, calling people up saying, how are you doing? It's the small little things, and you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's what allows you to keep your heart open. And then it becomes catchy, and more people do it. You see, we are responsible for the consciousness of our planet. And it's, you know, there's a group of people listening to the show that can take this seriously. They can participate in changing their world.
Well, Native Americans have understood for, you know, at least a generation or so that we're the consider ourselves to be the conscience of the planet, but we've gotten lost in this whole thing with struggle since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole American Indian Unity Movement, which had spiritual origins, ended up getting co-opted to some extent by other forces. And even these guys, instead of getting kinder and more spiritual, some of them just got angry, and some of them stayed angry.
Mm-hmm.
And armed themselves and caused problems for themselves and others, and lost track of the whole seventh generation thing. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So I wanted to start about wanderers, and I just wanted to read you a little bit of Ra coming through David Wilcock. This is I'm not going to. I'll just read it for a couple minutes to get the vibration. I got the idea, actually, that when I read this, they pay attention. They pay attention. There's a whole story that I didn't go into, which is beyond the scope of this talk today, but how, as a result of writing this book, the other side made direct contact with me, telling me how important it was, when no one else understood what I was doing, and I was having amazing miracles, still am, as a result of this happening. So, here is Ra, through David Wilcock. The stronger your desire to serve, the more assistance you will receive. Thus, resources are allocated to certain entities due to their propensity to make use of that catalyst for further gain. It is as a byproduct of request from the self that we move forward in such a manner. Thus, ask and ye shall be given. If you are one who has already filed such a request, then be prepared to see how your life right now, exactly as you are living it, is indeed your ministry. The catalyst for learning that you experience should never be seen as obligation. As we strive for unity amongst the different layers of personality and soul, so that a true coherence is established. Let me see here. The now is where the power resides, and in that now, you have the complete opportunity to overhaul the forgotten whisperings of desire for a better life and begin actively living it in the present. All of this begins with your attitude and a sense of thankfulness and self-forgiveness. To look back over the past with a critical eye is not the point. Rather, it is to see those experiences as having been completely sacred for the potential that they gave you to reenact the union with the one Creator that you have sought from the beginning. Now, we have another section in the book where Ra describes how to get messages from them.
You know, before you, and while you're looking for that, it's too bad Casey didn't see how this whole Bride of Christ and Body of Christ thing works, because, you know, the church is the bride, he's the bridegroom, or you know, he when he returns, he marries us, there's a union, you know, and then you begin to look at, you know, we're all just very, very, the body of Christ, we are cells, I mean, just like our bodies have billions and trillions of cells, you know, somehow we are just small cells and small little universes inside a much bigger universe.
That's exactly,
you know,
right.
And Jesus said, you know, my Father's house has many mansions.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got supposedly these other entities that are coming and saying, hey, you know, we're from another dimension. What's your, I mean, you're screwing up here. You're, you know, lighting off these atomic bombs and nuclear devices, and you're messing with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not going to allow it anymore. So it just really makes you wonder.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I've learned is just because, and I said this earlier, just because something comes from another dimension doesn't mean it's positive.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone ever if you recall the Egyptian priests when they started the channel, they thought they were bringing through positive stuff, and they weren't. And it started out, and it became the beginning of, you know, this huge negative force that we're experiencing on our planet right now. And so, if anyone looks for this, they have to pay very, very close attention to a couple things. One is, you have to have a very strong desire to serve in order to get a positive entity. Another thing is, a positive group will never take your power away. They will never tell you, you're supposed to do this or you're supposed to do that. They will always support you in whatever you're doing, and they will not direct you.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is fear. Negative groups, you know, give prophecies of gloom and doom and create fear. Positive groups don't. And so it's very, very important in the next years to learn the discernment to tell the difference. Because some of the information I got, there can be very negative sources that lead people into negative vortexes, and they think it's a positive vortex. So one has to feel the resonance of their heart in all of this. Now here's a very, very powerful message from Ra, where they actually describe their manner of monitoring our planet from the other side. This was May 29th of 2002 that David channeled this. Our staff is standing by to assist you, and our presence will not forever remain in the shadow. When the time is appropriate and the help is then truly needed, the free will clause will allow us to make our requested appearance, and we will see that events occur in peace. We are completely ready to fulfill this obligation at a moment's notice, due to the uncertainties that you are now faced with. Remember that. The true knowledge to one of your minds regarding how much we are capable of doing to avert world catastrophe would seem utterly overwhelming, since the neurological capacity of the third density mind is but a droplet in the ocean of consciousness that we are working with. Each mind anywhere in the world, either incarnate or discarnate, and at all levels of density, can be studied and analyzed with regard to the collective mind. And as we advance forward in time along various timelines, the consequences of any of these subtle actions can be seen, much like a fractal function or a quantum hologram. Hence, by our vast team efforts, we are capable of analyzing your grand chessboard and figuring out what pieces go where, at what time, and seeing how the different entities involved all contribute to the final outcome. In this way, then, if an event is not in the interests of all involved, the law of free will allows us to intervene in the lives of entities, often at crucial but unexpected points in the chain of causation, in order to offset such an event. These interventions can follow a gradient from the remarkably subtle to the relentlessly blatant at times, depending upon the degree of balancing that is required and how the individual free will weighs against the collective free will. The more that humanity as a whole strives for wisdom and understanding of the truth of love, the more interventions we are authorized to perform. Now there's an amazing statement from the force on the other side that's monitoring us, trying to help us, and acknowledging that they're hearing our thoughts and our prayers. And I think that's a good place to stop the story of the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. One thing I did do is I put up a little website, which I have this little prayer, it's called prayitforward.net. I don't even have my name attached to it. But I know that there's people that feel estranged and want to get through their garbage and don't have any support. And there's some keys on that website to use to help you to get through your own stuff.
Outstanding.
So,
well, we sure appreciate you being a guest on Prophecy Keepers. I know this is going to give folks a lot to think about, and because I know it has given me a lot to think about. Are you familiar with the Cayce prediction that a man named John Peniel?
Yes.
Yeah, John apparently came and did his work, wrote a book called The Children of the Law of One,
mm-hmm.
and passed away here not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
and he had moved his people to Alamosa, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and but it's really really interesting when he mentioned the Law of One.
Mm-hmm. I remember that prophecy. And I suppose there was the guy that claimed that he was the guy that Cayce was referring to there.
I never really did claim that. He just he was kind of, you know, he said, "Well, maybe I'm not." He didn't wave it in front of you, but
right.
It was really interesting. He just came and did his work and
mm-hmm.
went away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We've got their book, some of their tapes. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of work with sound for healing.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had a chance to meet him, but I thought I'd ask you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Wynn, we really appreciate you.
I really appreciate the opportunity to share all that. You gave me a really good energy to tell it like it is.
Yeah, you bet. It's always fun to learn about some more correlations, some more.
You know, if you, why don't you email me your address, and I'll see if I can't get my publisher to send you a review copy.
Oh, that'd be great. I know they're expensive. They usually only give you a few.
Well, my book has gotten to the place where it's become one of their 10 bestsellers.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So they're paying a little attention to me. You know, out in the real world, that's what makes people pay attention.
Oh, that'd be great.
And
yeah,
so,
and like I said, your interview will be permanently at www.prophecykeepers.com /free.html, and you could you or anyone else is welcome to permanently link to that. So anybody that comes to your website, you know, if they want to hear an interview on demand, they can listen to this one.
Super duper. And down the road, I'm not ready to do this yet, but down the road, I'd like to do another talk with you.
Sure.
And I'll tell you the story of how these forces made intervention in my own life.
Oh, outstanding.
To demonstrate to me, without a shadow of a doubt, that this was real.
Well, if we're going to do that, we'll change that URL. Instead of being free.html, it'd be free1.html.
Yeah, I haven't been really ready to put it out yet.
Okay.
I could probably do it on your show, because you have such an open thing. But, you
betcha, absolutely.
I don't want to damage my credibility.
Because I go, you know, I go red out one, red out two, and so we'll just do free one, free two.
Right.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, well, it might be a good time to introduce the story, because it's an incredible, incredible story. What happened to me is that my girlfriends all started channeling.
Wow.
They started channeling the Elohim. Ra started coming in through my dreams.
Wow.
I was having the opportunity to ask every question under the sun to validate what I had written about in my book about David. I mean, quite frankly, you know, I'm talking about this stuff very naturally to you, and when I first started writing it, I went through my own shock. I said, can I say this?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, can this be real? I mean, what if there's something negative here? What if it's not exactly right? You know,
everybody goes through that.
I want to be very responsible. And, you know, I don't need the attention. I want to deliver something that's going to serve people. So what happened was, my girlfriend started channeling. We didn't even try. It happened in the middle of, she just said, those guys want to talk. I got pressure on my head.
Huh.
So I'm having these conversations, which they're all taped, and I asked every question under the sun about what I had written about in my book, and they gave the same answers. Exactly.
Huh.
And then I said, this is like, I'm not sure this is like science fiction. Can you guys predict a newspaper headline? And then they did.
Yeah.
And then my sister was very, very sick. I said, can you help my sister? And they saved her life. I mean, it's an incredible story that is still going on.
It is fascinating. I know they really can't predict newspaper headlines. I know one night back in spring of 95, I heard the name Running Bull in my dreams, and I got up the next morning, there were, front page of the newspaper had a, that's when the stock market was doing so well, there was a green graph going upwards, says, how long will the bull run? I went, there you go. Yeah.
Now, you know, after this interview, you might want to take a look at David's website.
Okay.
And feel a resonance with him, because I'm sure you could do an interview with David also.
Oh, I'd love to.
And I'll send you an email with his email address, and
he'll be outstanding.
Very interesting.
I'll send you an email here in the next 10 minutes. And
yeah, send me your address. I'll send you a book. And I really appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, you bet. Thank you so much for being a guest.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
There is a growing movement of people who are deciding to make their lives better. At LifeVantage, we're in the business of change, of improving quality of life globally and restoring the ability to make dreams a reality. Your quest for personal fulfillment begins here. Our flagship product, Protandem, the Nrf2 Synergizer, is the key to fighting oxidative stress. This daily supplement, comprised of natural ingredients, activates the body's antioxidant enzymes to eliminate free radicals, which cause oxidative stress. Protandem has been tested in the laboratories of renowned universities, such as The Ohio State University, LSU, and the University of Colorado, Denver. These studies found on PubMed.gov, the U.S. government's online scientific library, clinically show that Protandem reduces oxidative stress.
When I saw that Protandem reduces oxidative stress by 40% in 30 days, I was all in for the rest of my life.
Everyone begs us for science as an industry. Where's your proof? Well, we have that also.
LifeVantage is devoted to advancing Nrf2 science and leading the fight against oxidative stress.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all... are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph. Before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells, yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by three U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they're largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time, so the longer you take it, the more protection
you will sustain.